Today I have something on my heart, and I'm just going to put it out there, all right? And I pray it's a blessing to you. I believe that Christian people should be the happiest people on planet Earth. Do you agree with me? I believe Christian people should be the happiest people on Earth. Now, the Bible uses a term, and we use it today, but maybe not quite like the Bible did, but the Bible uses a term just called joy. J-O-I, joy, that we should be people of joy and we should be people who are happy. So I'm simply titling this message today, Joy Comes in the Morning. Okay, can you say it with me? Joy comes in the morning. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms and let's go to chapter 30. I'm going to work my way through this psalm and it's beautiful, okay? Psalm chapter 30 or Psalm 30. Let's begin reading with verse 1. Bible, first of all, hopefully your Bible has this, but there's a little phrase above it says, a psalm, a song at the dedication of the house of David. A song at the dedication of the house of David. So let's deal with this first. So we believe historically that David wrote this when he was dedicating his palace. Now, if you go to Jerusalem and go to Mount Zion, the center of the city of Jerusalem, it's up on a hill, and you can go to the excavations of David's palace. And David's palace was up on a hill, and then behind him, on another hill that kind of was in his backyard, so to speak, is where his son Solomon built the temple of God, okay? But David built a palace, and he's dedicating this palace, okay? So it took him many years to get to Jerusalem. It took him many years to become the king of Israel. I mean, he was anointed as king as a little boy, but that there was a long road. Then he was anointed at another place, and then finally he was anointed in Jerusalem. And a lot of trials, and a lot of tribulations, and a lot of opportunity for mourning happened during all those years. Okay, so now we're at this apex of his life, and he's dedicating this beautiful palace to the Lord, okay? And these are his words. Verse 1, he says, I will extol you, O Lord, or I will give you praise. You know, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave and you have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Many of you have been mourning this year. I know my family has been. With the loss of my wife, we lost some amazing people in Fountain of Life this year too. But also think about COVID. Think about the political environment we're in right now. Think about the rioting going on. It's just been a tense year. It's been, I think, the craziest year that any of us have probably seen in our lifetimes, okay? It's been a craziness, and a lot of people are wrestling with anxiety and depression. And so today I declare, joy is coming to you in the name of Jesus. Come on. Joy is coming to Fountain of Life like we've never seen it before. I declare dancing and freedom and joy and laughter over all the congregation and all of our lives. Can somebody shout a great big amen out there? So why is joy coming? And what do we find in this text about joy? I'm going to give you three different reasons why you should be happy from this text. Three different reasons, okay? Three different reasons to have joy or be happy from this text. First of all, in the verses I read, we learn that God is the one who delivers. God is the one who delivers, all right? Your deliverance doesn't come from yourself. It doesn't come from your friends. It doesn't come from news media. It doesn't come from Facebook. Your deliverance is coming from the Lord Himself. When David starts this psalm, he says, God, I praise you because you've not let my enemies rejoice over me. You've not let my enemies defeat me and take me out. And for that reason, I'm giving you praise and I'm rejoicing over you. Think of all the times, if you've read in the life of David, all of the times that David ran from his enemies or he had to face a giant, or he acted crazy one time just to spare his life. I mean, he went through the ringer, and he's saying, God, I'm standing here now as we dedicate this palace unto you. And Lord, I rejoice that I'm seeing this day. And I rejoice that you didn't let my enemies take me out. Hallelujah. If you're hearing me today, it means you're still here. It means you're still living. You're still breathing. That means the enemy hasn't taken you out. And you have reason to lift your hands right now and just rejoice that you're here. Somebody shout amen with me. The next thing we see is he says, and O Lord God, I cried out to you and you healed me. So God delivers, and in that deliverance, it doesn't just mean he saves from enemies, but it also means he brings healing. And the term that David uses here in the original language really harkens back to Hezekiah the king, and when Hezekiah was healed, kind of the same terminology. So David may have been speaking about a physical illness that he had, or sicknesses that he experienced along the way. But he's saying, God, I'm standing here now, and I cried out to you, and you healed me. You delivered me from my enemies, and you healed me. Then he comes on down, and he says in verse 3, and Lord, you brought my soul up out of the grave, and you've kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. So not only has he delivered me, he's healed me, and he saved me from death. That is a reason to give him praise and to be happy. Hey, if you're still breathing, you can be happy. God's delivered you from sickness and disease, you can be happy. God's delivered you from your enemies, you can be happy. Somebody raise your hands and just say, Lord, I confess right now. Come on, say it with me. I confess right now the joy of the Lord in my life, hallelujah, and over my family in Jesus' name. We can be happy because the Lord is the one who delivers. Now go on down with me to verse 4, and it's powerful. The Bible says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give remembrance of His holy name. He's saying, okay, guys, I don't think my praise is going to be enough here. I want all of you guys to join with me and praise Him also. That's why when we get in church, we get excited when everybody starts praising Him. Because one voice is like, can't give enough praise, let's do His name. So we all just want to join together and begin praising Him. And it leads us to my second reason why we should be happy. And that is, trouble doesn't stay long. Okay, listen. Trouble doesn't stay long. He says, verse 5, His anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for life. So favor is greater than a moment. And then he says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So the morning is greater than the night. Favor for life is better than anger for a moment. Joy in the morning is greater than weeping at night. All right? Trouble doesn't stay long. And why am I saying this? Because in the text here, that trouble is personified. What do I mean by that? Well, if you read the book of like Ecclesiastes or Song of Solomon, or Proverbs, read Proverbs, wisdom is personified. It says, wisdom, she cries out in the street. You're like, what, wisdom? Wisdom's a woman? Well, it's a literary tool called personification. Well, here, mourning is actually, or weeping is actually personified. And the scholars say that what the idea is that weeping is seen as a person here who comes and spends the night. Listen, weeping is a person who comes and spends the night, but then once morning comes, they leave. Do you hear me? Weeping may come for the night and stay, but in the morning it has to go. And the writer's point is, David's point is, weeping and mourning is temporary, but joy comes as a permanent fixture on your life and on your house. Can somebody shout hallelujah? So trouble does not stay forever. It spends the night, but then it has to leave. Hallelujah. Weeping only endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm declaring some of you are walking through depression. You're walking through anxious times. Come on, right now, declare over your life, this thing will not stay with me. It will not live in my house. It's visiting, but it's got to go because the Lord is is giving me joy. Hallelujah. Maybe there's trouble right now in your family. I want to encourage you that joy is coming to you in Jesus' name. And you're coming out of that issue. You're coming out of those problems. They will not last forever. This will pass. And tomorrow the sun will shine. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Joy comes here in this text, two scholars tell us, and it's not just like an emotion, a fleeting emotion, but it comes as a shout. That joy comes here as a joyful shout. It comes and it shouts in our life, God is good, this thing is turning around because it's not dependent upon me. God is in control. He's delivered me from my enemies, and now he's making trouble get out of my life. It can only stay for a moment. Oh, hallelujah. You should be excited about this. Come on, somebody should be getting amped up this morning. That mourning doesn't have to stay with us. That depression doesn't have to stay with us. That anxiety doesn't have to stay with us. That these things come for a season and try to settle into our lives, but then God pushes them out and his life and his joy comes in the morning. Oh, hallelujah. Third thing I see in this text is on down. I didn't read these verses, but listen to me. In verse 6, the Bible says, now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Okay, what's David talking about here? In my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved. It's actually a prideful statement. He said, there was a day when I was prosperous before, and when I walked in that prosperity, I thought, my prosperity's brought me here, and it's keeping me secure, and there's nothing going to happen to me. Okay? And that's a dangerous place to be in when you're trusting in wealth or riches or your prosperity or your fame instead of the Lord. Then he says in verse 7, Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. In other words, I went through a difficult time. I thought this was over and I was here and I was trusting in my own prosperity. But then I went through a difficult time. And verse 8 says, I cried out to you, O Lord. And the Lord made to the Lord I made supplication. It means prayer. And then he says, verse 9, what profit is there in my blood? When shall I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. In other words, he said, Lord, I'm going through a problem now. And if I don't get out of this thing, I can't give you praise like I should. Because I can't praise you in the grave. I can't praise you down in the pit, which is a metaphor for death. I can't praise you in the graveyard. God, bring me out of this because I want to praise you with what time I have left. Hallelujah. We used to say it like this in the old time church. I'm going to praise him while I have the chance because I may not have this chance again. Listen, you have an opportunity now to give him praise, and now you should get joyful, and now you should give him praise. Once you're gone from here, you're in his presence in glory. Right now's the time to amp it up. And let the joy doors be open. And let the love and joy flow in your life. And start giving him praise while you have a chance. Now's your opportunity. Okay. Then he goes on down and he says, verse 11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. And you have put off my sackcloth and you have clothed me with gladness to the end that I may glory and sing your praise. So what's the third reason? What's the third reason why I should be happy? Because God comes and clothes us with joy. It says he does it. He's the one who comes and clothes us with joy. God is the one who does it. Notice how powerful this is, church. Listen to this. David said, in my pride, I got all out there and I thought, man, I shall not be moved. Nothing's happening to me. And then all of a sudden, everything broke loose and I found myself crying out to the Lord again, saying, God, just give me another chance. Give me an opportunity here and I'll praise you. And man, I'm going to let it ring this time and I'm not stopping. And then he says, and it was the Lord who came. And the Lord then turned this mourning into dancing and took the sackcloth off to me and gave me the clothes of joy. What is it? Garments of praise. What does he mean by that? Okay, sackcloth is like a feed sack. Okay, y'all know what a feed sack is. It's this porous material. It's not made for, listen, it's not made for clothing. But when the prophets in the Old Testament or people in the Old Testament wanted to mourn, they would put on that sackcloth. Those bags that were made for feed or made for, you know, the crops. They would put those on and then put ashes on their head and go into a mourning thing. Well, listen, that sackcloth wasn't made as clothing. It was made to carry potatoes around in or to carry corn around in. It wasn't designed for you. And he's saying, God took that clothing off of me and put on me new garments that fit. In fact, the original term is girded. It means it had strength. It fit right. It was a custom fit. God took what wasn't designed for me off of me and came back and gave me what was designed for me. And that's the garment of praise. Oh, are you hearing me this morning? Are you hearing what I'm dropping right now? That mourning isn't meant to be with you forever. Depression isn't meant to be with you forever. Joy is your inheritance in the kingdom. Joy and freedom and love in the Holy Ghost. Happiness is your destiny in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No matter what the government does, we can be happy. No matter what the enemy does, we can be happy. No matter what Satan tries to throw my way, I'm still going to rejoice and stand up and say, God, I'm thankful that I'm still here. You've delivered me from my enemies, and I'm going to shout and I'm going to dance. And while I have the opportunity, I'm going to give him praise. Come on, put your hands together and let a clap resound in this place this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Says you. Okay, let's go on down. The prayer for a time of trouble here in verse 8 is, he said, I cried out to you, Lord, and then... And to the Lord I made supplication, and I said, God, I can't praise you while I'm in the grave. And then you came and turned my mourning into dancing, and you took off the clothes that weren't made for me, the sackcloth, and you clothed me with gladness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then he says in verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Since now you've come and you've restored me, and now my glory, my position, the status that you put me in, now is going to be praise to you. That is the difference. Now it's not. Now we're not sitting here in prosperity thinking, look what I did. No, when you walk through trials, and when you walk through loss, and you walk through separation, and you walk through a phenomenal attack of the enemy, when God brings you out of that, you realize, God, you realize, man, this wasn't me, but the Lord delivered me, and the Lord brought me out, and I'm not taking for granted one day ever again. I'm not taking for granted one breath ever again. I'm not taking for granted one moment that I have to get in His presence and get in church with God's people again. I'm going to give Him praise, and I'm going to worship Him. God, you gave me another chance. Lord, you brought me out of this for a greater purpose, and I'm going to shout hallelujah and give you everything I have. Come on, somebody shout amen in here. Hallelujah. Okay, I have a couple other things to deal with here, and then we're going to pray, all right? But y'all just hold on just a few more minutes, all right? I notice that in the Old Testament, this is like a theme, how God takes and He prepares things in advance for people so when the battle comes, they can come out the victors on the other side. Because nothing that the enemy has thrown your way or nothing that life has thrown your way or no circumstance that you've been through caught God by surprise. Nothing that you're going... The world right now, all of the political shifting and the different things and the rumbling of war and the rumbling of... None of this catches God by surprise. Because God already saw it because He stands outside of time and can actually see the end from the beginning. That's why He can call those things that are not as though they were. He sees where we don't see. So none of this caught God by surprise. And I thought about this when we're walking through trouble and we're walking through this season of depression or mourning or anxiety and everything. You know, God already sees the end result, and that's you walking in joy. All right? Think about the book of Ruth. Back last year, we studied through Ruth on Wednesday nights, and I was looking at it for the first time, I guess, in the full context of the other books that surrounded it, you know, because you have the book of Judges, and Judges ends with Israel kind of in disarray, and everyone was just doing what they wanted to, and everyone was a law unto themselves because there was no king in Israel. And then the next book is not the book of Kings, but the next book is the book of Ruth. Okay, why is Ruth there? And Ruth tells this beautiful story of this girl named Ruth, who's a Moabitess. She's not even an Israelite, and she marries into this family, and the husbands all die in the family, and then the mother-in-law says, hey, you girls go on back to your home, and Ruth says, no way, I'm going with you. And she sticks with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and they go back to Israel, and God blesses Ruth. Ruth finds this very wealthy, loaded, older guy who takes her in and marries her and redeems everything that she lost. So it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. But I was asking, but why is it in the Bible? It's a beautiful story, but why is it positioned between Judges and the books of the Kings and Samuel and all that kind of stuff? Why is it in between all of that? And then it came to me, it's there because God shows you and shows us how David came to be king. Because at the end of the book of Ruth, here's Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, holding this little baby who is the grandfather of King David. Now, we go quite some time into the books of Samuel before we ever meet David. But then when the need arose and there was a giant on the battlefield named Goliath, all of a sudden, this little boy, David, bumbles up to the battlefield and speaks for the first time in Scripture and asks, what reward's going to be given for the guy who kills this giant? Oh my gosh. And now we see the king as a young boy who's going to bring full deliverance to Israel. So what is my point? What is my point? God knew. He knew decades in advance. God knew generations in advance that Israel was going to need a young teenage boy to kill a giant, to win the battle, to become a king that he was going to strike covenant with and honor that covenant for the rest of eternity. God knew that before it ever happened. That's why we have the book of Ruth. Hallelujah. God knew the trouble you're in right now before it ever came knocking at your door. And he says, if you'll only call upon me, if you'll only open the window of your heart to me, and if you'll only allow my spirit to breathe through you, I'm going to come and take control of this situation, and I'm going to show you I am the God who rides on the clouds, as the Bible said. I'm the one who rides on the storm. I come above it all, and I'm coming to bring joy back into your life like you've never had it. Somebody shout amen. Even thinking about the book of Lamentations, we've been studying through the prophets too this year on Wednesday nights. And as we study through the prophets, it's just judgment call after judgment, after oracle of the bad things that are coming because of Israel's sin. And then in the middle of all this, the prophet Jeremiah writes the book of Lamentations. And in Lamentations, he gets really personal. And he takes it personal that judgment's coming on Jerusalem. And he's like, Lord, you're sending this judgment, and I feel like it's me you're punishing. And I feel like I'm the one you're coming after. And so you're down in the ditch and in the mud with Jeremiah as he's going through all this. And then there's a turn of events that happens in Jeremiah, or in Lamentations chapter 3. And he says this in verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. So in the midst of the worst time in Israel's history, in the midst of the worst time in the prophet Jeremiah's life, in the midst of the time when he was kind of getting depressed and he was thinking, it's all me, God. I'm responsible. It's like you're killing me, God. Then in the middle of that, he stops and says, hold on. You know what? Your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. There's a greater day coming. The sun's going to shine again, because now I get my mind out of my troubles and I think about the presence of God, and I think about the goodness of God, and I think about the mercy of God, and I know the sun's going to rise again. Joy will come back. This will pass. God will restore Israel. And hallelujah, how many can lift your hands and say, this will pass in my life, and God's going to restore me, and God's going to reward double for what the enemy has brought against us, just like in Job. Glory to God. And I feel to preach this today, to break this off of our church and to break this off of your life in the name of Jesus. Just go ahead and raise your hand and say, God, I receive everything that you want for me today. Come on, raise your hands right now. I don't care who's watching you, who's around you. Just go ahead and lift your hand and say, God, I thank you that joy is coming in the morning. One more thing, and we're going to pray. Y'all hang with me. One more thing. You think about the life of Jesus himself, the greatest man that ever lived, God in flesh, never sinned. Amazing, the stories of Jesus. If you're new to church, go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read the Gospels. That's where you need to start. I always encourage people to start in the book of Mark. Start in the book of Mark and just read it through. It's amazing, the life of Jesus. And then what happens with the life of Jesus? At the end, he comes down to the end and he's betrayed by a friend. Come on, he's betrayed by a friend. And then the authorities, his own people, convince the Roman authorities to go arrest him. They arrest him. And then they bring him to trial. And then they send him to flogging. And man, flogging with the Romans was no joke. They bring out a cat of nine tails. And they start whipping his back till flesh started pulling off with each lash. Then they put a crown of thorns on his head and mashed it down. Then they made him carry his cross through the streets of Jerusalem all the way to the place of crucifixion. Then they hang him in the most cruel, horrific punishment possible. They hang him on a cross with nails and let the prisoners stay there until they asphyxiate, their lungs collapse, their body collapses, hanging on their own weight on nails. All of that. And then the Bible says that the whole sky darkened and it went pitch black in the middle of the day because the Son of God was dying and heaven and earth were colliding, so to speak. And he's hanging between sin and salvation. He's hanging between the judgment of God and sinful men. Oh man, I could go on and on. And it looks like it's all over. And morning has come and night has come. And death has come, and his disciples are going to hiding, and they're weeping, and they think everything's lost, and all we've been living for and following for these years is now gone. But then 3 days later, two women come up to the tomb to anoint his body according to tradition. And when they get there, they find the door of the tomb, which was a huge circular stone, was gone and moved away. And then they look inside the tomb and there's no body there anymore. Somehow the dead, slain body of Jesus was gone. And then they turn to go away and they run into a man they think is the gardener. And turns out it's the Lord himself resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had just turned mourning into dancing. He had just traded the grave clothes for the resurrection clothes. He had just traded death for life. He had just traded all of the sins of mankind for the salvation. And that's who we're serving. He is our Lord. And I'm telling you what, church, if you're serving the same Jesus I'm serving, that means we have the same resurrection life in us. Now he's saying, follow me, walk in joy, cast off the night because it's far spent, and now the morning is coming and it's time to rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody just lift your hands and give him praise in here and give him a little bit of glory in here. Come on, somebody clap your hands. Somebody shout for joy right now in the name of Jesus that your night's going, your night's passing. I declare it by the Spirit of the Lord. Your night's going and your morning's coming in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing: God loves you and He has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us, and we love you dearly, and go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.